Welcome to Tactical Permaculture. I've worked on projects ranging from the poorest to richest clients, from inner cities to suburbs to farmlands to remote wilderness, from the eco-war front lines to celebrity backyards. In over 25 years of service to the earth and the community of life, I've learned that in the fight for sustainable survival, growing is half the battle. Please go to tacticalpermaculture.com to read my blog, watch my videos, view my photos, access web applications, and click on the join membership link to access exclusive features. December 17th, 2023, episode 91. I have been experiencing a life-changing series of events around the arachnid relations. And while I had started to feel that I was, after 3 years almost of being out here, finding a balance with the scorpions, even though they surprised me being unseasonably, uncharacteristically in places I wouldn't expect them, and constantly reminding me to be vigilant and to be less complacent. There turns out to be another vector of venom, another dangerous insect in the arachnid family that I had been only partially aware of this whole time. And it's not the black widow, because I have had my first and only encounter with the black widow here, I guess within the first couple of years, and that was only once. And the last place I was at, there was a lot of them, and I felt like there was a some sort of a cosmic warning that I would get, and maybe it was not metaphysical at all and just out of my peripheral vision to notice a certain type of web and then kind of freeze, and even in mid-step to take a good close look and then realize, yep, that's something that we've been evolved to take notice of. And so the deal is I try to escort them to safety as needed, the arachnid family. I don't intentionally kill them ever. If they're in my quote-unquote my areas, then I'm gonna escort them to where they'd be happier someplace else, and I won't have to worry about accidentally injuring or killing them, and vice versa. But this is a different species that I didn't just have my first encounter with, but that I had been encountering on numerous occasions, and had thought almost nothing of it. I've seen, seems like it would be between a half a dozen and a dozen different types, distinct species of spiders that I've, arachnids rather, that I've observed out here. The camel spider, the scorpion, which I don't have offhand the exact variety, but it's a distinct variety. And then the black widow, and these amazing, I don't know, I haven't identified them yet, but I'm more excited to now. They have these very almost like bejeweled joints on their legs, and they're night ground hunters. Haven't ever seen them in a web, but I've only seen them at night, really. And they're about the size of a sand dollar, or yeah, they're the size of a palm, of the palm of the hand, perhaps. never felt threatened by them, knew that they didn't fit any of the characteristics of dangerous North American arachnids, but I always had a bit of a gray area question mark about these other ones that I would see quite often that I kept saying to myself, you better look up brown recluse and make sure that you're not looking at a bunch of brown recluse spiders every time you see them where you often see them, which is, lo and behold, their behavior grouping together and being reclusive and really enjoying the crevices of cardboard boxes and whatnot. That's where I would always see these packs of spiders that would come out, and they were brown, and I had just told myself deeply inside that my knowledge of them was that they had different proportions to their body, and some of the identifying characteristics, they're you would almost need a microscope or have them immobilized, which I don't want to even mess with trying to do that. But I had the sort of gut feeling that I better look into it a little closer, because I had been moving some stuff around, kind of resetting my protocols and procedures for evacuation, and really reorganizing a lot of stuff, and they were just everywhere they could possibly be where there was any shade that I was providing. So I don't know how many dozens of them I've seen over the years, but yeah, I take a box out from someplace and I just already know intuitively I gotta drag it out, jump away, open it up, or drag it out, open it up, jump away, and a bunch of them are going to climb out and run out and do their thing, and I'll just stay out of their way. And upon closer inspection and more research, it turns out it's considered very, if not extremely rare, for the brown recluse proper to be on the West Coast. However, it has a very similar looking related species called the desert recluse. So don't say to myself, don't get too excited to know that the brown recluse isn't their turf, because it turns out, oh, you could be mistaking and confusing it for what it really is, which is a desert recluse, which does inhabit this area, and by all the characteristics listed to identify them, that appears to be exactly what I've been encountering this whole time. And for the fun part is they are equipped with venom that can cause necrosis of the tissue, meaning almost like something like battery acid on the skin, meaning it will cause cell death in the surrounding area of the bite up to, well, this is where it gets confusing for me, because I don't know what, I don't know exactly how to compare the brown recluse damage versus the desert recluse damage, but apparently it's similar. And so if it's anywhere near what the most extreme, which could be, which is systemic, meaning not just on the point of the bite, at the point of the bite, but in the bloodstream, going systemic and affecting other organs, fever, nausea, dizziness, and affecting people with the younger people, older people, compromised immune systems, etc. It doesn't seem to be that lethal, but it could be, depending on where the bite happens, it could be pretty nasty in terms of causing that the death of tissue around it that becomes gangrenous and eventually sloughs off and hopefully heals. But yeah, I don't know if this is correct. It seems a little bit of an undercount, but I believe in the readings that I was looking at, it said that there were only three venomous, maybe this is the nuance that I need to factor in, but I guess of the dangerous arachnids, they listed black widow, brown recluse, and Chilean recluse. So who knows? I'm not an expert. I would love to, I'd love to learn more as I grow. And if anyone out there is an entomologist, they know a lot about arachnids, then I would love to connect. But it's interesting when you get into a rhythm or a pattern with a creature, not knowing the whole time that it could do you serious bodily harm. And yeah, I try to not be paranoid about spiders, but that can be an overconfidence. And there was only one time with these ones that I was moving a box and didn't inspect it as thoroughly as I normally would for whatever reason. And then there was, I saw it moving in the corner of my eye, and as a reflex, I just dropped the box. But for the most part, I'm very careful to make sure that they escape safely. And I believe that one also did the same. But it's interesting psychology to feel like, wow, all of those encounters, any one of them could have been maybe not lethal, but could have given me a real bad day, if not much longer. So it's a humbling thing, and I have luckily haven't learned the hard way with any of these relations of mine. None of them have done me in yet or given me, you know, a real run for my money as far as the bites and stings. I mean, there's been a lot of bites and stings from a number of flying insects, and certainly what I believe are called seed harvester ants that are the most prolific. Most prolific biters and stingers of me, I'll say. I don't want to say that they're a menace because I'm a guest in their territory. And I don't know. I think I make them happy with what they get from as a bonus of my being here in terms of the drops of water that spill out sometimes and the food crumbs and certainly the seeds that they've eaten that I've put out. But I respect them and I fear them, and they've raided my bedroom before. So a lot of my bandwidth goes into designing a peaceful relationship with them. And it's just this sort of these layers of creatures that I have to account for. And yeah, so far so good. No real hard lessons. Coyotes there've been some losses, you know, of things other than my limbs and other than my, mild rashes and bite with the bites and stings of various creatures, but yeah, no big losses. And so I'm grateful for that. And now I feel like, yeah, part of the process of being here is, paying respect to and trying to develop an understanding of who really is dwelling here, who's really adapted to be dwelling here, and whether or not I'm like a fool inviting them to take habitation all up and around me with no consciousness of what their habits are and what their prerogatives are, preferences and whatnot. So I did some modifications to put a little more distance from between where they were liking to hang out and my stuff and where I sleep and stuff like that. I have no interest in being at war with anything. I just didn't know that they existed. I did not know there was such a thing as a desert recluse that's related to the brown recluse, which is one of only three highly seriously dangerous arachnids in North America. And there's been, like I said, I don't know how many dozens of them I've been very, very close with, in a very innocent and happy-go-lucky kind of manner. I'm not the kind of person who would invite them to climb on me for fun or to bond. I would more just, you know, use pliers to grab something if I was concerned that they might be hiding within it, and then they'd be able to get out safely, and I'd be able to not have my fingers, you know, grabbing something out of a box and knowing that they were gonna be all over it. So yes, one of those sighs of relief. I've been lucky so far, and from now on, there's no excuse not to know better. And I hope that they welcome me. I welcome them into my consciousness. And now, if you did not know that there was such a thing as a desert recluse related to the brown recluse, well, now you do, and you know it's all over the southwestern United States. And they love cardboard because it reminds them of their native habitat, or their preferred dwelling, which apparently is decaying bark and woody type matter. So there's something kind of charming about how, even though cardboard is this processed product, it bears very little resemblance to its natural original form, it still attracts the desert recluse spider. So yes, cardboard plays a big role in my life as a permaculture designer, and even in my professional career. I've worked for and with a recycling company and done quite a bit of cardboard recycling in my day. So there's something a bit charming about that. But like I said, gonna design a little bit more space between me and the desert recluse, and give it the salute from now on when I see it, knowing I should have done my research sooner, so I'd have that additional humility and additional design sense. And I guess to wrap it up, I've made a shift on their behalf. I actually realized that one of the features that I built and designed and built out here was partially subterranean, partially dug in into the ground and actually surrounded by mulch for use for future tree plantings. And I don't know why I had always been afraid of it. I was like, you know what, something about it, I don't want to hang out there. It seems like, yeah, certainly in the summer, a place where I would be, where if mainly my concern was scorpions, but now I realize I was worried about scorpions, but I had seen a lot of these desert recluse spiders, unbeknownst to me what they were at the time. And I didn't, you know, I was just like, oh, well, I can live with that. And now I realize, well, it's a good thing I was a little bit afraid of the scorpions. It kept me out of there. As I was dismantling and moving it, I saw a couple of the desert recluse spiders, and I also discovered a dried corpse of a giant tarantula. So on that note, I'm getting the universal arachnid thought response effect with the just feeling that whatever the chemicals are surging through my bloodstream, and the goosebumps and hairs raising. It is an interesting experience of humility to look at something so small relative to your size and say you could radically transform my destiny, and you're everywhere, and I'm just this even though I look bigger, I'm actually a lot smaller. So it's a good spiritual lesson about knowing your place in the cosmos and checking your ego. So I have the blessing of making these acquaintances and hopefully friends at some level. And my design will reflect my respect and humility towards the indigenous creatures. And that makes for, I think, a more beautiful design. Cheers.